We welcome you this morning. Call your attention to the announcements. We have to add a few things, but we'll start at the back page for the young people. The senior high group, you're meeting tonight at 5 o'clock for a good time, Christmas party, and you can read the announcement, and then you'll be joining the rest of us for our evening service. And our evening service tonight begins at 6 o'clock. We forgot to put that in the announcement. So remember that our family night begins at 6 o'clock. And we trust that you'll be able to join us. We have a number of families and people participating in this program. Our goal is to just go through the events of the birth of Christ with some scripture, some music, some other some meditations and things. And it's always been a blessing to be here. So we trust you'll be able to join us. But just remember that it's at 6 o'clock tonight rather than our normal 7 o'clock. And then afterwards in the fellowship hall, we'll have a time of refreshment. And maybe some of you ladies can help us out with finger food for that. Next week, we will not have a fellowship dinner. It's our normal fourth Sunday, but because of the holidays, Christmas and New Year's and all the special things, we will not have it next week. And then I would remind you that we can still use a few more names on our substitute, our Sunday school teaching substitute list. And if you can help us, this is not a big thing, but you just have to be ready on call. And our teachers really appreciate having a name to call when they can't be here. It might be short notice. You might have several weeks' notice, but if you can help us by signing up for one of the classes, the sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board, and we would really appreciate it. Christmas is a time of giving, and we give to you a present from Linda Robinson, a phone list. This is the new updated version of the phone list, and so we trust you'll take one home or take a couple home for whatever you need and be able to contact the appropriate people on the list. Check your own thing for error. Starting in January, Linda's going to work off of this list to come out with a new directory. So we ought to be having a new directory shortly. But so you need to make sure that you're on this list and that your information here is correct. She'll be using this as the index for a new church directory. And we trust that that'll be a blessing to you as well. We are glad to have you here. Today is a special day. We devote it to Christmas. We'll have some special music from the choir later, and then, of course, the evening service devoted to the Christmas story. And we trust it'll be a blessing as we consider, again, today the things of the birth of Christ and what it means to us. We'll ask Chris to come now and lead us in some songs.
Good morning. If you'll all stand and take your hymnals. We're going to start this morning with number 117, We Come, O Christ, to You. It's number 117.
Thank you.
you'll turn to the back of your hymnals, number 635. We'll read this in unison. It comes from John about Christ's incarnation, number 635. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of love, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the gift that you sent on Christmas Day so long ago. And we do pray today that you would turn our hearts toward you. We pray this in your name. Amen. And let's turn back now to number 125. Joy to the World, number 125. You may be seated.
One of the special blessings that some of us at least have at Christmas time is that we can sing as a choir, and we can sing a lot of Christmas music. And we trust as the choir comes and sings a number of songs relating to the birth of Christ that they won't just be good music, we trust that will be true, but that the words will bring honor and glory to the Lord as we sing of His coming, as we sing of His person, as we sing of the events. And so we're going to have the choir come and sing a number of songs now related to Christmas. Choir.
Thank you. Our scripture reading today will be from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. You go ahead and turn there, please. And I think this needs to be put in a little bit of context. What we have here, and think about this as if this were happening in your own family, how this might go down. John the Baptist has just been born. It was the eighth day. The neighbors and relatives had gotten together, and they had come to circumcise the baby. They needed to know what the name would be. They decided to name him after his father, Zacharias. And the mother said, no, his name is John. So they made signs to Zacharias, and he wrote on a tablet, and he said, his name is John. And then Zacharias began to speak and praise the Lord, and this is what he said. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets a long time ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Let's pray. Father, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving this morning to know the sacrifice that you made, that Jesus made, to come here and save us from our sins. And Father, we give you thanks for that this morning in this special season where we celebrate his birth. And Father, we lift up this time of coming into looking into your word today, and we ask that you would cause your word to go into our hearts and minister to us in whatever way you would be pleasing to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
you'll take your hymnals and stand one more time. I'd like to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. It's number 145. O Come All Ye Faithful.
Dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. We're not going to turn to a specific passage. We're going to be covering a number of passages this morning as we continue talking about words by which we can increase our understanding of what Christmas is all about. And before we do that, let's pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your tender mercies, because of which the sunrise from on high visited us to give us light, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Father, we do praise you this morning for the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, for the life that we can have through him. I would just pray as we look into your word and we see things pertaining to this coming, and as we think about tonight and on into the week in our various gatherings and celebrations, that we might understand just exactly what it means to be celebrating Christmas. And that it would be to your praise and to your honor and to the glory of our Savior. So bless our time. Father, we come here with in the midst of a busy schedule,
A lot of us have things going on. Our minds get rushed and flustered. We get on edge. We just get busy, Lord. We just pray that you would quiet us for a few moments at least and to think about the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So just bless this hour, we ask in your name. Amen. We have been talking the last several weeks about words to help us understand Christmas. And the last two Sunday mornings, we've talked about what do you see or how do you think? What do you get in your mind when you come to a manger scene and see the baby lying in the manger? And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about incarnation. You must think that that is God incarnate. Last week, we talked about the faithfulness of God in keeping his word and sending his son. And then last Sunday night, for those of you who are here, Steve added another word. When you see that baby in the manger, think of salvation. And today I want to add one more word. It's the third. The title in the bulletin says the third word is really the fourth if we add Steve's in there. But it's the word peace. When you see that baby in the manger, I want you to think of peace. It's one of those things that everybody wants and few have, really. We look for it all the time. And our leaders, our world leaders, promise it all the time, but seems to be a fairly elusive goal. And you think back in the history of man, and there's hardly ever been a time of peace. And when there have been short periods of peace, it has not lasted for very long. But we do have some understanding. We have these moments, if you will. Absence of war. Now, there's never been a year where there's not been 30 or 40 battles going on. But for any particular country, we've had times where we've had absence of war. We've had times where there's been a relative harmony in society. We have not always been torn apart. We've had times when maybe in smaller groups or individually we've had some kind of tranquility of life. Life is somewhat quiet. But overall, if you had to describe the world, you would turn to Isaiah, last verse in chapter 48 and the last verse in chapter 57 where Isaiah goes through certain things and then he ends up with, "There's no peace for the wicked." And that's really the verse, the verses, the principle that the world is operating on. There is no peace for the wicked. And it's been that way as far back as you want to go. The time of Christ, about 2,000 years ago, they called it Pax Romana, Roman peace. Rome essentially controlled the entire Mediterranean basin and lands going off each side of it. They kept the peace with the Roman legions. And it was Roman peace by Roman swords. So even while they were calling it the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, it was the outskirts. The legionnaires were fighting constantly with the other people. But even in the midst of the Roman peace, when in the center of the Roman Empire things were relatively calm and relatively stable and relatively peaceful, one of their philosophers, and I've read this before, but I just keep it in mind because it just shows the emptiness of the world. One of their philosophers, Epictetus, said, "While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns more than even for outward peace." The Romans could enforce a peace for everything but their hearts.
And 2,000 years later, 1989, the president back then issued his Christmas message, and I kept a copy of that because I thought it was kind of interesting. For 40 years, the world has known only a grim and joyless peace. This is 1989. But now, everywhere, you see signs for warmer, more hopeful peace. Christmas in 1989 will be a moment to be remembered, a moment of new faith and freedom, of new hope for peace. And shortly thereafter, he sent troops over to the Mideast to fight. We just have trouble finding peace. And I suggest perhaps on the basis of Christmas that the reason is we're looking for it in the wrong place. And so today I want to talk about peace and how it relates to Christmas and how it relates to us. We start in the Old Testament, and you don't need to worry about the verses too much. But the word, the big word in the Old Testament is shalom. And if you've been reading, by the way, in the paper about the new Jewish temple or synagogue that they dedicated here, saw a lot of shaloms in the paper lately. It's a big word. It has to do with the absence of war. That's what most of us think in terms of peace. Armies are not fighting. It has to do even bigger than that, a condition of freedom from any disturbance. There's nothing that bothers you with shalom. It has to do with restored relationships, person to person. It has to do with fulfillment, completeness. It has to do with a state of wholeness. When you have shalom, you can just kind of sit back and say all is well, because all is well with shalom, with peace. When we get into the New Testament, this concept of shalom is so great that New Testament picks up three different words at least to deal with peace. We have the standard one, eirene, which means peace, the way we normally use it. Sometimes they use teleos, which means completeness, to bring that aspect of peace out. And sometimes they use sozo, which means salvation or deliverance, because that's an aspect of that. See. But what's interesting when you think about peace in the Bible, it's always linked to the presence of God. It's never a political issue. It's never an issue between people. It's always the result of the presence of God. God coming, being in a situation, acting, bringing peace. And peace is always related to the presence of God. One of my favorite verses, which is kind of tough to live by every now and then, is in Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, because thou, Lord, makest me to dwell in safety. The Lord comes, he sets up the environment of safety, and in this environment of safety with the Lord's presence there, I can lay down and sleep. I don't have to fear what's coming. And it's this link to the presence of God that brings us to Christmas. Because, as we've talked about before, Christmas is all about the presence of God. If ever you use the word incarnation, you're talking about the presence of God. If ever you use the name Emmanuel, God with us, that's what Christmas is about. It's the presence of God. And so it's appropriate to talk about peace at Christmas because all these conditions are met. God is here and God is acting. See? In the Old Testament, and we've gone through this in Isaiah, God promises his people, I will save you, I will deliver you, I will take care of you. And he does it through the Messiah. And we'll pick it up tonight, but we've talked about it before. Back in one of the main prophecies of the Messiah is in chapter 9, verse 6 of Isaiah. And we read about this child who's going to be born, this son who's going to be given. And we read it, the government will rest on his shoulders and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Tsar Shalom, Prince of Peace. That's one of his names. Sometimes we just stop at verse 6. We need to continue on verse 7 because when Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, comes, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. See? The prophecy of the coming of the child says one of the things that happens is there will be no end to peace when he comes. And then verse 7 ends with, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is what God is doing. Sending Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, to establish peace. And not only will he come and establish peace, but then another well-known prophecy in Micah chapter 5. This is the prophecy that we use to demonstrate the truth of prophetic scripture that Christ will be born in Bethlehem. And in verse 2 of Micah chapter 5 talks about Bethlehem Ephrathah. From you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. That's prophesying that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. We forget to keep on reading down to verse 5. This one, talking about the one who's born in Bethlehem, this one will be peace. Not just bring peace, not just establish peace. This one will be peace for his people. Personally, when he comes, he's peace. In him, as Prince of Peace. When we get to Isaiah, and then that passage that Mike read for us, where Zacharias gives us the prophecy of the coming of this one, based on the birth of John the Baptist. The last verse that Mike read, he will shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. And at his birth in Luke chapter 2, the angels coming, proclaiming his birth. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. And then there's a little translation problem with the rest of that verse, but it doesn't matter what you do with it. The angels announce him, say, glory to God and on earth peace. And sometimes we forget that aspect of Christ's coming. We are in a hurry to get Jesus Christ to the cross. See? We're in a hurry to get him there. And we forget that when he came, the consistent teaching of Scripture, he came to bring peace as a general concept. Peace. We see this in his ministry, and we'll just number verses. In Mark chapter 5, you remember the woman who was sick, and she said, if I just touch his robe, I'll be made well. And in the crowd, she came up, and she touched his robe, and he knew that she had touched him. And so she was identified, and he was talking to her. Remember what he said to her? Go your way, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See. Luke chapter 19, when he's coming to Jerusalem for the last time, and he comes over the mountain and he sees the city of Jerusalem there, and he weeps over it. He says, if only you had known the things which make for peace. See. If only you had known the day of your visitation. My coming to you, the things that make for peace. And you remember his last words to his disciples. In this world, see, you'll have tribulation, but in me, you'll have peace. See? So if you read, if you didn't know about Calvary yet, see, if you didn't know about Calvary, how would you describe his ministry? What would you overall say about Jesus Christ? Acts chapter 10, interesting verse. As the gospel's going out, you would think that you would talk about somehow he's going to be a sacrifice for sins, and he was going to die on a cross, and by faith in him we could be saved from sins. But Peter, speaking for the first time to Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, talks about, I understand now that God can save people like us, Gentiles. And then in verse 36, this is the word that God sent to the Jews, and now it's the word that he sends to the Gentiles, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? The first time that Peter talks to Gentiles, he says, God sent this word, peace, through Jesus Christ. God acting to bring peace. In the Old Testament, we have promised peace through the Messiah. In the New Testament, we have peace because a child was given. A child was born. Son was given. We have Christmas, see. Bring it back up to 2009, to you and me. Maybe some of you, as I do often, remember how it was before we were saved. What was inside the fightings within, if you will, the disturbance, the unrest, the incompleteness. Ephesians chapter 2, and we love these verses, about what God did for us in Christ. But verse 3, talking to me and talking to you. Verse 13, excuse me. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. See, we're described as without God and without hope in the world. We are way out there. And now we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. He himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by bringing Jews and Gentiles together, abolishing the enmity and stuff, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. See? Isn't that interesting? Everywhere we find a description of what came with Jesus Christ was a message of peace. And I'm not negating anything else. You know that. But isn't it interesting? Colossians chapter 1, in this passage, talking about the fullness of Christ and all the deity dwells in him and what God was doing through Jesus Christ. He says, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. See? Relationships restored. Peace. See? I think that's why Paul spends so much time in Romans chapter 5 talking about that. That
Therefore, having been justified by faith, and notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, now I'm going to heaven when I die. Or now I am happy all the time. You know, the standard things that we kind of... Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See? Why does he... I mean, Paul deals in big concepts sometimes, see? And obviously, Paul's going to deal with sins being taken care of. Justification is a big word and talks about how I can be declared righteous in God through the blood of Jesus Christ and all those things. But isn't it interesting, being justified, being saved, I have peace with God. And before, when I was at enmity with God and I was fighting God, now God and I are at peace, see? Because I've been reconciled. The relationship has been destroyed, has been restored, and the enmity is gone, and I am at peace with God. See? All is well. Peace with God. Absence from war. That spiritual battle is over. That enmity against him. His anger and wrath against me, it's gone. I'm at peace with him and reconciled and brought near. And we sit together maybe in a figure, if you want to, whatever you want to imagine. We are together in peace, God and I. See. All that to say, just a couple of things. If that's Christ's ministry, if that's Christ's ministry, we ought to live in peace. Without going into a lot of detail, in Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about how we can live in peace. And he says, hey, don't worry about things. Commit them to God in prayer, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See? If I'm worried about something today, and we have a lot, if you read the paper, and especially now that we have two papers in one for the price of one, you know, whatever that is all about. We have a lot to worry about. Over there and here and those people and those people. I mean, we just need to worry all the time, except, see, we don't worry about anything because the peace of God guards my mind. If I'm at peace by the coming of Jesus Christ, then the peace of God guards my mind because I commit everything to him. And then just a couple little verses later, then when I'm just letting my mind wander, when I could say, whoa, I better start thinking about that, and I better play. And he said, no, think about good things and noble things and righteous things and pure things and great things, and think about all that good stuff. And the God of peace will be with you. See? Isn't it interesting? The peace of God can take care of worry. The God of peace is with me. I mean, we ought to be living in peace, shouldn't we? All that at Christmas. When you come sometime this week to some kind of manger scene, or when you think about, talk about, sing about, read about the baby in the manger, see, and you look at him and you understand incarnation and salvation and those big concepts, add to that, you see in him absence of war inside. Absence of fear. There's no disturbances. My mind is at peace. See? And you look at him and you say, all is well. Because he's our peace. It's by faith in him. See? It's not just a December 25th, that's what I do. See? That's what I believe. He is the incarnate God. He is the one who came ultimately to die as a sacrifice for sin. I, by faith in Him as Savior, am at peace when I see Him. So add to that. Incarnation, you come, if you remember 2 weeks ago, you come to the manger scene and you see the baby in the manger and you say, "My Lord and my God." And when you see the baby in a manger, you sing like Raquel did, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." See, you exalt God because of His faithfulness in sending that baby. And as Steve said, when you see that baby, you say, "That's my salvation." And today, when you see that baby and you think of that baby, you say, "All is well. Peace." And if you remember those words and those concepts and you understand that, that will make something meaningful out of Christmas. It is not just away in the manger, no crib for a bed, see. It is, among other things, today, our peace, and we live peacefully on that basis. And when we see the baby, we see how we ought to live. By faith in Him, we have peace. And I would just say, if you're struggling today, going into Christmas, worried and upset and frazzled and hassled and just don't know what tomorrow or January 1st or whatever is going to bring, I would just say to you, peace. All is well. Jesus Christ is born. And it's a great thing to understand that. Let's pray. Father, I would pray that we might know the reality of the sunrise from on high, Your tender mercies guiding us into the way of peace. As Your people, Lord, may we walk peacefully in a world that does not know it. May it be so obvious that people would say, "How do you have that?" And we could share with them the riches of the glory in Jesus Christ. But I pray specifically for each one of us here that we might have peace. Peace with You, being justified by faith, and in Your peace keeping us as we live as Your people. Today, Lord, let us be people of peace, I pray, in Your name. Amen. You know, I like to put songs to things. And the hymn, the song that reminds me of peace in the concept of what can I sing when I want to think of that all is well, just all is well. And I came up with number 496. "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand." And as I was singing that, if you can sing that, you can say, all is well. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Let's stand, please, and think of the baby in a manger as you sing these words. We'll sing just the first and the second verse, and then Steve, would you come, please, and close in a word of prayer.
pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you are a God of hope, and you fill us as your people with joy and peace in believing. And I pray that we would truly be filled this year with a peace that comes from you. And Father, we recognize that a group this size, there may be those who don't have peace, that don't believe in you. We ask that in your kindness and your mercy, you would lead them to peace with you so that they may have peace. Thank you, Father, that as your people, by believing we have peace, give us, Father, this season a rest for our hearts and a rest for our minds and our souls as we reflect on you and reflect on the goodness of the incarnation. Thank you for providing a Savior, one who is our salvation. Bless the week ahead, and our activities remind us of the peace you give. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.